I thought he was he used to say, I want to die young.
I don't want to blame him. I ask him to leave, but he can't. He's here for a reason. People have brought him out. People conjured him up. Now he won't leave.
Welcome to the show. The big show. I am, of course, your host, Isaac Weishaupt. And you, of course, are listening to Conspiracy Theories and Unpopular Culture Podcast. Like and subscribe. Always like, always subscribe. Always liking and subscribing. That's what we do. We are going to talk about Nicki Minaj channeling entities, Illuminati toothbrushes, Kobe Bryant. More on Kobe Bryant. If you haven't had enough, I think I have like four episodes on him. We're going to talk a little bit, very briefly about him. Drake and Billie Eilish. Got a lot to get through today, so let's get through it. And then I'm going to give you some updates. I'm going to give you some updates on what I've got planned for you and I, for us, me and you, your mom and your cousin too. First, I need to do a little housekeeping here. I need to give some mega big shout-outs for February to the Tier 2 Patreon super supporters here. This is, of course, patreon.com/IlluminatiWatcher. Check it out. You won't believe all the great stuff you get. If you sign up for Tier 2 and you commit to it, I'm going to shout you out just like these fine folks here. Ada, Angela, Big Fezzik, what up? I had to look up Big Fezzik. I was dying to know what that meant. Andre the Giant, good call. Katie, Kazzy. Oh, and by the way, I'm notoriously terrible at pronouncing names, so if I get your name wrong, shoot me an email. Send me a message on Patreon there, and I will correct it on the next one. Because I'm sure I'm getting some names wrong. Kazzy, Daryl, Hector, I will see, what up, Jeff, Matteo, Prophet 7 hanging in there, S&V, Sammy Boy, 94, Taylor's holding out, Taylor's been on the team a long time, what up, special what ups to Taylor, Trey, and Whitney. Some of you have been on there for a while, some of you are brand new. But either way, as you know, the Tier 2 folks go above and beyond the Tier 1. So I want to give a little, whatever I can. You know what I mean? I'm just trying to help out here. And I appreciate you helping me out and supporting the show, whether it's Tier 1 or Tier 2. And like I always say, not a smart sales pitch, but if you want to stay on the Patreon team, just bump it down to Tier 1. That way you're subscribed to the feed and you get all the bonus stuff. And you know all the stuff. You've heard me talk about it, so you know where to find it. Patreon.com/IlluminatiWatcher. Thank you to all the Tier 2 supporters. Those are the shout-outs. I appreciate you, each and every one of you. Nicki Minaj, what is this lady doing? She is now channeling some new entities. Her brother is in trouble. He's doing pizza things, you know what I'm saying. I'm going to read to you from USA Today. Jelani Mirage, that's her brother, sentenced to 25 to life for raping an 11-year-old. Predatory sexual assault. His lawyers claimed during the trial that these were just allegations concocted by the girl's mother as a scheme to get Nicki Minaj to pay $25 million in hush money. They apparently presented some DNA evidence that said otherwise, and you know, it's very disturbing. The victim testified she was assaulted numerous times over 8 months at his home. He was arrested in December 2015, so this is apparently something that's been in work for a long time. Now, why are we talking about that? Because obviously, that's her brother. That's not her, right? Two different people. Because it plays into the second part of Nicki Minaj that I need to talk to you about. The new entity she's channeling. She said, Well, first off, it should be known that she said she was going to quit music and focus on her family. She married that dude that apparently had a seedy past. I don't care who she marries. But now she's coming back, and she says she's channeling a new entity, an alter ego named Queen Sleaze. From her Twitter, she says, "She's more calm but way deadlier. My husband always says he's more afraid when I talk quiet than when I yell. He said that's how he knows when I'm dead. TF serious." And of course, she dropped a new single and stuff. You know, this is the famous, like, the rocker's last tour, right? And so she's back. But this new alter ego goes by the name of Queen Sleaze. And why does this all play together? Well, it's channeling the entities, the alter egos. If you don't follow Minaj or follow my research into the hip-hop Illuminati world, as detailed in Sacrifice Magic Behind the Mic, Nicki Minaj has been channeling entities for many years. She's openly talked about it.
Roman is a crazy boy who lives in me. And he says the things that I don't want to say. He was born, just a few months ago. I think he was born out of rage. He was conceived in rage. So he bashes everyone. He threatens to beat people and he's violent.
That must be nice to have, like, an ignorant loudmouth who you can just sort of blame every...
He wants to be blamed. I don't want to blame him. I ask him to leave, but he can't. He's here for a reason. People have brought him out. People conjured him up. Now he won't leave.
Now everyone seems to think this is some kind of joke or hyperbole. I would argue that it's not. Of course, I don't know that. I don't know her. But she's quite serious about talking about these things. Why do they do it? And oh yeah, and let me finish my thought on the so she said she channeled Roman Zolansky. That was one of her alter egos she channeled many years ago. Roman Zolansky, of course, a play on Roman Polanski, the guy who got in trouble. He was naughty too. He was in the hot tub with the young underage girls, drugging and raping. Then he moved over to Europe so they couldn't arrest him. I don't know if those are allegations or not. I'm going to put an allegedly in front of there just to cover myself. Allegedly, he did those things, but I kind of think he got convicted in a court of law. But anyhow, and you know Roman Polanski's tied into all kinds of weirdo stuff with Rosemary's Baby and Sharon Tate's murder by the Manson family and all these allegations that Manson had connections to the occult, which are indeed true. It's just a matter of how far off the rails do you want to go with the Manson occult killer theories. But it was curious to me that she channeled this entity, this alter ego, Roman Zolansky, who was a pedophile, allegedly, maybe. Then her brother turns out to be doing the same stuff. Could it be that was incidental to channeling the alter egos? Because in my book, in Sacrifice Magic Behind the Mic, I have a whole section on alter egos. And why do they do it? They don't do it to be entertaining. I mean, maybe these entertainers are doing it just to sound cute or whatever. But if you look at these ideas of channeling the entities, you align yourself with a new identity. Right? And in the world of the occult and ritual magic and all of that, they're actually evoking higher powers. They're evoking knowledge. They're evoking energy and inspiration. That's why Beyonce says she's channeling Sasha Fierce. And then that's why she says Sasha Fierce is dead. They're arguably using these artists as puppets, as shells, and transmitting energies and entities through them. And you can see the results of this. It's very emotionally and physically draining. You get all these breakdowns. You get the drug addictions. You get the suicides. I got a quote for you from Beyonce here. I have someone else that takes over when it's time for me to work. When I'm on stage, this alter ego that I've created that kind of protects me in who I really am. As far as Nicki Minaj go, in the book, I tell you about how she's channeling up to 15 different alter egos, her words, not mine, including the blonde homosexual male Roman Zolansky. And then she has an interesting quote on, there was an interview she was giving on this alter ego. She says, "I ask him to leave, but he can't. He's here for a reason. People have brought him out. People conjured him up, and now he won't leave." Then, if you recall, back in 2014, at the BET Awards show, there was some interesting things that happened there. She announced at the awards show that she almost died, and then everyone laughed at her. She said, "The other day, literally, I didn't tell anybody this. I really thought I was about to die. Like, I was saying my prayers to die. And I didn't even want to call the ambulance because I thought, well, if I call the Amberlamps, it's going to be on TMZ, and I'd rather sit there and die." And everybody laughed. Isn't that strange? Isn't that strange? She's telling you all these things directly, and people kind of shrug it off. A lot of these artists do this stuff. Santana, he said that he evokes a spirit named Metatron, not to be confused with Megatron. Metatron, and he says that Metatron lets him connect people to the light. And that Metatron, this light source, of course, Luciferian language there, veiled Luciferian language, he said it's the eye inside of the triangle. Oh, brother. I'm telling you. These rappers, they're aligning frequencies and using energy symbols, the triangle of manifestation. What do you think Jay-Z and Beyonce are doing? They're doing all this stuff. Next, let's talk about Drake, who I had ranked very high on my top 50 Illuminati, or no, not Illuminati, my top 50 rappers show available to Patreons, supporters only. And I Will See on Patreon was listening to the show and shared some interesting lyrics that I hadn't noticed by Mr. Drake on his 2018 album Scorpion. I'm going to read it to you now. He said, "Backstabbed so many times I started walking backwards. Like Charlemagne, I see the light and see the darkest patches. Bury me and I'll be born again. I walk in godly form amongst the mortal men. I got some real demons across the border fence and made a note of the mistakes we can't afford again. Like I said, can of worms and I'm the early bird. N-words want to hang, but I'm too busy doing dirty work. Hit them back and say we'll link up on the 33rd. When I say that they cursing me, it ain't dirty words. Church of Pentecost, Holy Spirit Synagogue, I don't know who's protecting me, but we hit it off." So what's he saying here? What's he saying here? He says, "Bury me and I'll be born again." Rebirth. It's the death and rebirth. Any good occult initiate goes through this cycle. The death and rebirth, reborn into the ways of the occult. That's the alchemical transmutation. He says, "I walk in godly form amongst the mortal men." That is, of course, one of the major themes in the world of hip-hop, is becoming a god. It can't just be a great rapper. Eminem said he was the rap god. Jeezy said he was God. Jay-Z said he's Hova. Beyonce's Beezus. She posed as Jesus on the Last Supper artwork, if you recall. Kanye said he was Yeezus. Said, "I am a god," and he said that he'd be in the Bible. Could it be Kanye's trying to turn that around now? Or is he still pushing an occult agenda? Who knows? Nobody knows. But, yeah, so he says, then he says, "I got some real demons across the border fence." So he's reborn as a god with demons across the way. Then he says, we'll link up on the 33rd. Well, isn't that a curious number? 33rd degrees of Freemasonry. If you look at the Scottish Rite of Freemasonry, the highest rank is 33. And one only gets to that level if they're invited. If they do something towards the great work, conducting the great work of Freemasonry, the evolution of consciousness, one would argue. So you don't just get it. And he says, hit him back and say we'll link up on the 33rd. Because 33 means he's doing the great work. And he says, when I say that they cursing me, it ain't dirty words. He's talking about being cursed, not with dirty words. So could it be Drake is actually talking about this occult initiation of sorts? I'd argue it to be so. He's done many strange things. He's got the Bohemian Grove owl, Minerva, all over his artwork, all over his label. He's always doing the 666 hand. And he says, oh, the 6 is Toronto. That's all that means. Sure. Everyone's got a reason they do the hand. It's anything but Womb of the Illuminati 666 stuff. So let's move on to who should we move on to? Billie Eilish. Let's take her down next. She, and if you recall back in my predictions for 2020, I said Billie Eilish was going to be put on a pedestal very high up to persuade and manipulate an entire generation of people. And so far that seems to be holding true. Her and her strange little brother there won a whole gang of awards at the Grammys, breaking records for how many Grammys they won. And there was some backlash on that because this is an outrage culture. Everyone has to argue about, you know, who's the biggest victim. And now people were saying, oh, you know, Lizzo should have won Best New Artist. She was living in her car, and, you know, you've got Billie Eilish. She was, you know, she didn't have that upbringing. And I agree with that. I don't think that that's, but look, I don't necessarily think that means you deserve to win Best New Artist because you had it worst. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, I talked about Billie Eilish on a whole show where I talked about her Silver Spoon upbringing. And Sarah, in fact, sent me a message. Shout out, Sarah. Sent me a message of some YouTube video you can watch. It's called the channel's Mixed Bus TV. And this guy's talking about how Billie Eilish was, in fact, hooked up by her Hollywood parents. Something that I came to the same conclusion, right? Because if you recall in my analysis of Billie Eilish, I was whining about how she acts like she's like this depressed, angsty teenager. And she made mention of how she... her mom bought her this $150 hoodie once for whatever reason. I don't remember off the top of my head. And I was like, dude, like, you know, I didn't grow up with money. And I certainly wasn't getting no $150 hoodies. So she's just another spoiled rich Hollywood kid. Portraying an image, of course. But yeah, that's what this guy on Mixbus TV says. He says she had walking roles on Iron Man and the Wimpy Kid movie and decided that wasn't fun enough. So then they hired an A&R team to roll out her image. They had a whole team of engineers and stuff doing the mixing and mastering and had some studio label hookups from Interscope. So yeah, her and her brother are on winning the Grammys. Anyone who can do music in their bedroom could do this. No, not really. I mean, anything's possible, right? It's possible the moon's made of cheese. It's possible. Anything's possible. But Billie Eilish is fabricated 100% like all these other people. She's there to be used and abused by the elite to push a message, a narrative, something to manipulate the culture. That's her role, okay? She hit the cover of Vanity Fair. Three different covers they did. One of them, they call her the Outsider, of course, energetically tying her to the Luciferian Outsider rebel thing, right? Because that's what kids are into. They want to follow the rebellious character. Then she said... that hip-hop artists are all liars and they don't carry guns, which I don't think she's entirely wrong in the sense that, like, there are some rappers that don't carry guns, but, like, I'm going to guess a lot of them do, okay? And the optics on that are so bad of a privileged young white girl, pretty young white girl, and her ginger soulless incestual brother there. They, you know, and look, and that's what I, when I talk about the rap music, I always am sure to be sensitive to the fact that, like, I don't know what the hell's going on in the culture there. I'm not part of it. I'm just an observer, right? But yeah, CNN, they're pushing it. Oh, she's got such great fashion. She dresses like an insane homeless person. I sound like Mark Dice yet? I don't want to sound like Mark Dice. I actually like Billie Eilish's music. I think it's pretty good. I'm very complex, aren't I? Aren't I nuts too? But yeah, I'm just like everything else. I'm just pointing out to me my worldview, and you can take or leave it, right? You can subscribe to this or not. But this is what CNN, they said, quote, "Instead, her outfits have channeled Eilish's self-confidence, her inclination for doing her own thing, which you could argue is also what made her music stand out. It's not the giant teams of A&R folks and engineers mixing and mastering in the studios and the label and Interscope. No, it was just that her music stood out. And her affinity for larger-than-life, gender-fluid fashion that hides the body rather than shows it off. Above all, they've demonstrated her innate love for clothes." So the point I'm trying to say here, watch Billie Eilish. She's going to be the one pushing some kind of thing. I don't know what the thing is yet, but they're putting her in the subconscious, in the mass subconscious. They introduce her to the parents. If you notice, on the Grammys and the Oscars, she was performing sort of slow ballads. She wasn't doing the song Good Girls Go to Hell, or singing about Lucifer on the song and doing her alchemical process stuff with the black wings, the fallen angel wings. She wasn't doing any of that because the parents were watching. And the parent and the kids were freaking, "Oh, Billie Eilish is, I love Billie Eilish." And then the parents are watching and they're, "Oh, she's not so bad. Yeah, we'll go to her concert and buy her albums and do all that stuff. Yeah, she's great." It's all a ruse. Kobe Bryant. Oh, am I done picking on Kobe Bryant yet? Nope, not yet. A lot of people sent me this one. So I don't have the time to big ups everybody that sent it to me, but thank you. All the people that sent me this thing, Kobe Bryant apparently was saying he wanted to die young. He said he wanted to die young. One of his fellow basketball, sports ball players made mention of this. He said, "Oh, you always used to tell me you wanted to die young." Let me get the quote for you. Let me get it. Hang on one. Stand by. Tracy McGrady. I don't know who these people are, right? I barely know who Kobe Bryant was. Tracy McGrady, who was apparently a friend of him, he said, "This sounds crazy, but Kobe spoke this. He spoke this. He used to say all the time, 'I want to die young.'"
Sounds crazy, but Kobe spoke this. He spoke this. He used to say all the time, "I want to die young."
And really?
I thought he was he used to say, "I want to die young. I want to be immortalized. And, you know, I want to have my career be better than Michael Jordan, and I want to die young." And I just thought he was just so crazy for saying that. And when I got the news yesterday, I had a dance with my daughter yesterday at my wife's event, and they came and told me the news, and I just couldn't believe it, just like everybody else. But
"I want to be immortalized and, you know, have my career be better than Michael Jordan, and I want to die young." Oh, yay, yay. Why would he say that, right? Who would say that? Recall, and if you haven't listened to my Kobe Bryant shows, I beg you, I plead for you to do so, especially the one where I break down all of the kids' books that he wrote. He was definitely... I don't know if he practiced occult stuff. He certainly knew about it, though. He certainly wrote about it in these kids' books. So you got to listen to that episode. But recall how the singer Kesha said this too. Do you remember that? She sang that song, Die Young. It was very popular. And then a couple months after it was out, maybe it was even a month, it was blowing up on the charts. And then the Sandy Hook shooting happened. And then the radio stations and everybody pulled the song down, right? There was a video of her like going to a church and with pentagrams and stuff, if I recall. Because I covered all this on IlluminatiWatcher.com. But yeah, she's singing a song, How We're Gonna Die Young. Then all them young kids died young, right? Sandy Hook shooting. And then she came out and said how they forced her to sing the song. Why would she say that? This is why the journalists bug me. And this is why when Donald Trump talks fake news stuff, like, and you look, you know my opinion. I'm not a huge fan of Trump. But like, he's not always wrong. Some of the stuff he says is right. This fake news stuff, this is what supports it. When these journalists, when Kesha, a famous singer, talks about how she was forced to sing, why would she say she's forced to sing a song called Die Young and then be upset about it when all them kids die and then they take it off the radio? No one bothered to ask her some follow-up questions about that. We're left to speculate and theorize. Then LeBron James, and there's another athlete, Larry Johnson. You may know who that is on Twitter. He's always calling out Illuminate confirmed stuff. I don't know if he played football or something. I don't really know, but he's been calling out LeBron James because during the Kobe Bryant service, LeBron James was doing the weird hand symbols with the 666 hands, right? You'll have to forgive my dogs. They're possessed by the devil. If you haven't seen my stupid dogs, look at Instagram at Isaac Weishaupt. I don't post a lot of pictures. I posted like three of so you could see these maniacs like a year ago. Anyhow, they're trying to ruin my life back there. Side note, I forgot to tell you I was going to talk about this. Tamers on the Patreon, she asked about the blood of the saints. Is this adrenochrome? Oh, and by the way, if you're on the Patreon, I get a lot of questions about, hey, cover this, cover that, cover this. I'll try. Okay. I'm not going to promise you. I don't want to give you unfulfilled promises. All I can say is I'll try. There was, for instance, someone told me there's a show on Netflix I should watch and I don't know. I couldn't get into it. So like, it's hard, you know, it's hard to watch 6 hours of a series that I'm really not interested in, but that's not always the case, right? So, you know, send your ideas. Don't think I'm ignoring you, please. There's a lot of stuff I'm trying to get through, and I'm going to tell you about my projects coming up on the horizon here at the end of the show. Tamers asked about the blood of the saints. What is this about? Is this adrenochrome? Talking about the Bible, of course. They talk about the blood of saints. Well, this is a very deep topic. According to the Aleister Crowley Religion of Thelema and the websites dedicated to it and several books, I've seen it say that the blood of saints is the body of magic. Okay? It's the ego of the practitioner, they say. What does that mean? Well, let's go a little deeper. This idea, and this is just my outlook on it. I'm sure you could research and find different flavors of this, okay? But the idea connects us into these concepts of antinomianism, which is basically the idea of going against the grain. And these people that are into this stuff, like, I picture it as like this little gang of people that get together and they try to prove to each other how woke they are, how unconstrained by societal constructs they are. And you'll see this in the upper degrees of the Ordo Templi Orientis, the magical order group. They've got stuff like this. You get up to the higher level initiations, they're doing the masturbating, they're doing some homosexy time, even if they're not homosexual. It's proving that your mind is open to be expanded. Anything the magician can do to show they are not influenced by the societal structures. Now, if you want to get real jiggy with it, you look at, there's something to this idea of magical practice and harnessing energies through sexual activities, right? It's referred to as sex magic sometimes. Tantra does this kind of thing. And you look at the occult left-hand path, yoga practices. We're not talking about the, horny housewife, hot yoga down the street. We're talking about the occultist, the tantric secret society kind of, stuff from back in the day. What would you call it? Atavism, something like that. But the ancient yoga practices, the left-hand yoga practices, are about controlling the mental and physical bridge. And you can even see echoes of that in the modern American yoga practices. People go in, they say, oh, I like to stretch out. It makes me feel good and break a sweat and whatever. Yeah, it's kind of boring to me. But hey, and I've done yoga before. Like, it's fine. It ain't no CrossFit, but, what am I getting at here? So they're talking about controlling the mental and physical bridge through yoga practices, okay? And that's kind of what you're doing in regular American yoga. It's like you're holding this position. You're using your mental and physical at the same time. You're connecting the two, right? You're focused on it. And what they argue that you can do in these left-hand path occult groups is you can open up the seven chakra points in the body, right? You're familiar with the chakras. They go in order up to the pineal gland, up to the crown, the brow chakra. And look, I don't want to go off the deep end on you, but there's like this kundalini, this coiled serpent energy, right? And you got to unlock the seven chakras the fair when you've got the big hammer and you got to hit the thing to make the bell ding, and you got to go all the way up. You got to clear out all those chakra points, and you'll unleash the kundalini spirit. And the energy of the coiled serpent goes up to the crown chakra. And it has all these purposes. They say it unlocks the CDs, these occult powers and all this stuff. But the concept here is that you got to see how the processes of the body must be mastered and controlled. That's what they think. And if you get into some of these fringier occult circles like Kenneth Grant, the guy who followed Crowley for many years and then started the Typhonian Ordo Templi Orientis, which is all about channeling alien entities. They'll talk about how during these sort of tantric sex magic operations, both the partners, it's advisable that both the partners are aware of all these occult practices and they be at the same level of understanding. What are we talking about? The same level of understanding? So like, for instance, the ejaculation is controlled. That's like Sting. You remember Sting from the Police, the Stinger, the singer? He's holding back that nut. That's what the tantric practice is all about. Because it's not about a lusty sex thing. It's about an energetic thing. It's about taking the energy and the fields of energy created during this sexy time and changing the universe with this powerful source of energy. Sounds crazy, right? Well, there's a whole bunch of people that believe in this stuff. So it's about mental and physical control. Now, why are we talking about this with the adrenochrome? Because there, if you look into these topics, they say both the partners should be at the same level of understanding. So what happens if only one of them is? If only one person is a master, then they are vampiring the energy from the other one. Vampiring, that's the term. I've read this. If you've read Peter Levenda's stuff, he knows what he's talking about. That's the term he used, vampiring. Because that sticks out in my mind, because we hear all about the vampire stuff, right? When this goes into that idea, I posit. Harvesting the energy from the fear emitted from the you know, the kids or whatever. One person is the master, that is the practitioner of magic, and they're vampiring the energy from the other one. So when we talk about the adrenochrome, that is what I would argue it's all about. Fun, huh? Fun stuff. Well, hey, you guys asked for it. and since we're on a real bummer, let's finish up the show with this one. We're going to talk about this toothbrush. Yeah, that's right, a toothbrush. We're going to talk about it.
Many kids, brushing your teeth can be such a chore, but how do you make it more fun? Well, add augmented reality. Colibri has come out with a toothbrush for kids. It's called the Magic, and the whole thing that makes it magic is an app that makes it fun to brush your teeth and turn into a game. Let me explain. What you have to do is sync the phone to your face and make sure it can sense that you had the toothbrush in your hand, and you have to brush away all the bad guys on the screen, and it turns into a game. You get points, you can unlock filters, and you have to then go through all these different lands like the bathroom, the jungle, and space, naturally.
A toothbrush called the Magic Toothbrush. Now, why are we talking about a magic toothbrush? Well, it's spelled very curiously. Very curiously. Colgate has this toothbrush, and if you look it up, it's spelled M-A-G-I-K, the Magic Toothbrush. And big ups to Shalane, again, my Patreon folks, my Patreon people always coming through in the clutch. Shalane found this thing, and I couldn't believe it. I had to double take on this thing. Yeah, magic toothbrush spelled with a K. Why does that matter? Because Aleister Crowley, I've talked about this many times, the 11th letter of the alphabet is a K, and the number for magic is 11, right? You follow? So that's what differentiates M-A-G-I-C from M-A-G-I-K. M-A-G-I-K is not the same as the stage magic from David Copperfield and such. This is... refer to the conversation 5 minutes ago. It's about these people trying to harvest energy and use it to change the world. Now, what's even more bizarre about this magic toothbrush, is it's got this app. It boasts this virtual reality app, and you have to sync your face to this app because they're saying it's a game for the kids. And look, I'm not trying to be creepy here. I really am not. But I watched a couple of videos on YouTube. One in particular, CNET, had a video of sort of product review of it. And it gives... how do I say this? It gives this appearance that if I was one of those pizza pervs, that you could see how disturbing this can get real quick when you watch the people demonstrating how this works on the app. I'm going to upload the video to Instagram. I'm not going to say much about it. I'm going to let you read between the lines. Go to my Instagram at Isaac Weishaupt. I'll have the video on there. You'll know what I'm saying when you see it, but I would argue that, I'm concerned. I'm very concerned that there's some nefarious thing going on with these videos of these kids doing this toothbrushing. And I'm not saying that to be cheeky. I'm not saying that to be creepy. I'm saying that to be honest, because I think there's a real problem in our entertainment industry, in Hollywood, in our world in general. I mean, it goes into every facet. I don't understand it. Like I said, my best guess is that this has something to do with some kind of energetic obsession. And I'm also, for the record, not saying that all occultists are into this kind of thing. Absolutely not. I would guess that a large majority of magicians and occultists are absolutely against this kind of thing. But what I'm saying is there's probably this small outlying group of weirdos that see no ends to their, no ends to their abuse of others, okay? For their own ends, for what they want. So there you go. And Yeah, I don't want to end on a bummer. But that's all the updates, because I want to move onward and upward in 2020. We're going to have so much good stuff. You're going to be so tired of winning. What do I got coming up for you? Let me tell you what I got coming up. Patreons will get an analysis for the film Arrival. That'll be only on the Patreon feed. I'm going to answer some Patreon questions from May 2019. That was the first and last time I'll ever ask for topics. And it's not because it's not a good idea. It's because I feel bad. Like, I'm like, man, I got to research these things. But, freaking Kobe Bryant's dying and stuff. Like, it's crazy stuff going on all around me. And all these movies are dropping. Which, by the way, we're going to have an analysis of Lighthouse. Go watch The Lighthouse if you haven't seen it. I'm going to post that in the next, few weeks. And I'm going to blow your mind, because after that, I'm going to also do an analysis of The Witch. Because believe it or not, it's the same director who did both films, The Lighthouse and The Witch. And you won't believe the connections that we've made here. And let me give you a hint. It's all about the bridal chamber of the alchemical wedding. That's your hint. So watch those films and get ready, because I've got a lot of good stuff to talk about with those two films. And then I got some other stuff. I got some really cool stuff I'm going to give you this spring, this summer. I don't know. We'll see when I get to it. We're going to do an analysis of the film Mother. Or Mother, as I should say. It's got the exclamation point. Aronofsky, of course. Then I want to do, and I might do this next, I don't really know. I want to do a sort of four-stage show, right? What we're going to do is we're going to talk about cognitive models. And this will support, oh, these dogs are killing me here. They want me to get off this. This is going to support every concept we talk about with symbolism in the films and predictive programming and all that. This is going to be a very good show to explain the scientific ideas of why they do what they do, right? We're going to talk about cognitive models, and then I want to do a whole show on H.P. Lovecraft, because that's going to play into a lot of other things, like my alien book I'm writing. Yes, I'm still writing it, still researching it, because I'm also going to give you a film analysis of Color Out of Space. Shout out Ken Amy. Hooked it up. I watched Color Out of Space, the Nick Cage, H.P. Lovecraft story. Lots to talk about there. And we're also going to talk about The Fourth Kind, an alien movie as well. But I want to do that as like a four-stage sort of thing, because I think we can pull out some good examples of how this works, why they do it, and how they do it. So that's what's on the future. That's what's on the horizon. Stay tuned, stay subscribed, stay woke. And go to, I don't want you to forget, go to Instagram, at Isaac Weishaupt, and I'll do it on Twitter, at Illuminati Eyes, Facebook, Isaac Weishaupt, or Illuminati Watcher. Watch that video with the toothbrush thing, the magic toothbrush, and leave a comment, leave a veiled comment, to see if you understand what I'm saying. But yeah, check it out, it's very disturbing. But yeah, that's the latest and greatest. Until we speak next time, stay woke.